You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic. Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Cade Torcivia from the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to answering some of your horse behavior questions.
Yes, I'm excited about our topic today. I think it's one that our readers are very interested in, and that is equine body language and behavior. So could you just start out by telling us, what are some of the most common misconceptions that you hear horse owners mention about reading equine body language?
I think one of the things that people often forget about when they're talking about equine body language or equine behavior is sometimes people forget that horses, because they're so large, they forget this, that they are a prey species. And so a lot of their body language and behavior is related to that and how they interact with their environment. I think also people assign some kind of human-like emotions to a lot of behaviors. They do this with a lot of different types of animals. But for example, like when a horse lifts their lip and performs a flamen response, which is something that horses do to kind of have a better sense of smell. A lot of people think they're smiling or something like that. And so there are funny videos on social media of horses, quote unquote, smiling and things like that. I think the other thing that I come across a lot is people being very ready to assign, a horse is a difficult horse or a horse is a bad horse because of some of their behavior. But just going back to that prey species type evolution, a lot of times what we're talking more about is stress and fear type body language or behavior. And so I think that's one of the bigger misconceptions that I have to work around on a daily basis of people saying their horse is misbehaving when in fact they are just scared or in pain.
So speaking of those horses that are scared or in pain, could you share some examples of the subtle cues that horses would give before they escalate to those more obvious signs of discomfort or aggression?
Yeah, sure. That's an excellent question. I think I talk to students a lot at the University of Pennsylvania Vet School about horse behavior, and oftentimes I'm asking them, you know, what are signs that you know about in horses being stressed? And often the first thing students will say is something like, oh, the ears pinned back, or the horse is lifting a limb at you and they're going to kick you. And there are a lot of more subtle things that usually happen first before those more aggressive or kind of apparent signs. And so usually when we're dealing with stressed horses in the clinic here, it's things like increased ear rotation. So rather than ears pinned flat back, you'll see a horse who's becoming stressed start to have their ears move more. We often say, like, it seems like they're trying to figure out what is in their environment. Are they going to have a way to kind of escape if they need to? And that usually comes with a bit of just kind of restless movement. So lifting up their limbs and putting them back down in the same place, just kind of shifting their body around. And we often liken it to like a tennis player getting ready to receive a serve or something, where the horse is kind of moving a little bit back and forth, trying to get ready to do something more if they need to. When they're first becoming stressed, oftentimes horses will still interact with people and the people in their environment, if there's food being offered, that kind of thing. But one of the things I often see when I'm working with stressed horses is if you do offer them a treat or a little bit of grain or something, that they often kind of become more grabby with their mouth. And so I often call it punch eating, where they'll kind of be coming towards your hand a little bit more aggressively than they might otherwise. They're not trying to bite you, they're just kind of having more jerky movements. And so if I'm working with a horse where I'm providing treats for good behavior or whatever it is, if they start grabbing more aggressively, I'll know, okay, maybe we need to take a step back here. Another really good one is good one as far as being able to tell that the horse is stressed is noticing muscle tension. So a lot of people who've worked with horses a long time know to keep their hand on the horse when they're moving around the horse. Oftentimes people say it's, oh, to let the horse know where you are, to make sure they know you're there, whatever it is. But you can also take a lot of information from that feeling of their muscles. And so if you have your hand on the neck or the shoulder, those areas of large musculature, when the horse is becoming stressed, you can often feel that muscle tense and it'll become quite hard. And sometimes that's one of the only early signs that you might see of a horse becoming stressed. And so it's just another good reason to kind of keep your hand on them while you're working with them.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you mentioned the muscle tension. My horse will, he it, in a more obvious way, he will show jaw tension and kind of chomp his mouth when he's stressed out. But even before that happens, if I'm like petting his head or if I just have my hand on the side of his face, you can feel that muscle start to tense, and then I know he's worried about something. So I think that's really interesting that you mentioned that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that really helps our students a lot. Our vet students learn to work around horses as far as both getting used to working around horses and the horses knowing that they're there, and then also being able to monitor stress. It also comes in handy because a lot of horses have had earlier signs of stress. For example, things like the weight shifting or moving around or even pawing, something like that. A lot of times people in their lives have punished them for those behaviors. And so they might be less likely to actually show you those signs of early stress, and they'll just be standing there, very tense muscles. And then people will say, oh, when I was doing this procedure or doing whatever with my horse, all of a sudden they exploded out of nowhere. And oftentimes that isn't the case. The horse was actually very tense, but they weren't displaying a ton of outward signs other than that super tense muscle, like their whole body being tense and them kind of in a freeze type state. And so, yeah, it's a very good one to look out for.
Yeah, I also like your point about how people could have punished them for shifting their weight or moving around as an early sign of tension. I think we hear about this maybe more in dogs because maybe more people work with dogs, but I always hear people saying, you know, don't punish your dog for showing its teeth or growling as an early warning sign that something's wrong, because that's when you know, get the dog that quote unquote bites out of nowhere. So I think it's really important that we remember that with our horses too. You know, they're trying to show us early signs they don't want to escalate, but we have to listen.
That's very well said.
So, what are the key signs that you would say a horse is stressed, anxious, or in pain? And more importantly, how can we appropriately respond to these signs?
So, I talked a little bit about some of the behaviors, including that just kind of restlessness, the increased ear rotation, the small hoof movements, that punch eating. But I also think a lot of the times, signs that people find especially annoying or difficult to work around, things like biting or kicking, To me, they are sometimes learned behaviors, but oftentimes they originate in some type of stress or pain. And the horse is either reacting instinctively to stress or pain, or they've learned that, oh, it my one stifle is really sore or something, and the one the person picks up the hind leg, if I just kind of give them a hard time a little bit and kick out, usually they leave it alone. But all of that behavior originated with the painful stifle. And so if your horse, especially at a new behavior out of nowhere, seems to all of a sudden show these stress behaviors when you're doing something, especially something you've done, every day for the past few years, it can often mean pain, more than anything else. And so as a veterinarian, I definitely encourage people to have their horses checked out when new behaviors arise.
Absolutely. So when we're looking at maybe working with horses on the ground or even under saddle, can you explain how understanding the horse's body language might help you improve your training sessions and also strengthen your ability to communicate with the horse?
Understanding some of these things about horses, as far as the stress and fear behavior, can obviously, if you're able to recognize them sooner and change what you're doing, or back off a little and come back to X activity later, can really improve your relationship with your horse as far as they can understand that you might respect some of those signs that they're showing. I talk to people a lot about using, positive reinforcement type training, avoiding punishment. And it oftentimes, one of my main arguments is it does help strengthen the animal human bond that you're building with your animal. You want your animal to listen to you. And so you also have to listen to your animal when they're telling you that something you're doing in the training session is maybe a bit challenging for them or a bit painful for them. And so seeing these signs of stress, especially under saddle type behaviors, there's a researcher named Sue Dyson who has done a lot of work in recognizing pain behaviors under saddle. And there's a lot of stuff published out there as far as signs to recognize in your animal in your animals while you're working with them. And so just getting that education for people to try and recognize these things, even though some of them are pretty subtle, can definitely help build a better relationship with your horse.
Yeah, I agree. It's so important that people educate themselves and take that initiative to do so, because the more that we know about what our horse might be trying to tell us and how they're doing that, the better we can help them. I always hear veterinarians say, when you're with your horse almost every day, you know them best. So it's important that we understand how to recognize the very early signs of discomfort.
Yeah, for sure. You can be your horse's best advocate in these situations.
So we're looking at the barn manager side of things. What body language signals should they look for themselves and teach staff to look for to recognize immediately, especially for the horse's safety and the handler's safety?
Yeah, I think we've talked about quite a few of the early stress behaviors, and so those are really good things to have people looking out for. I do also think it's really important, like we mentioned too, to have barn managers say, once you become familiar with this horse, please let me know if anything about their behavior changes. Have they become more difficult to bridle? Has it become harder to lift their feet? Things like that, so that you can really get ahead of any new aches and pains. As far as, especially if you're working with new staff or people that are less familiar with horses, I think it's also really important to tell them some of the, more far along signs of stress. If they've never known that, horses pin their ears or something like that, you obviously want to tell them that as well. Things like, oh, their ears pinned, they are raising their head and their neck is really tense. The whites of their eyes are showing. They may do some type of vocalization, like that kind of blowing snort vocalization if they are faced with something scary. And if at any point the horse gets so stressed, they do often start to no longer respond to the person handling them. They're in such a fear state that your presence doesn't really matter anymore. They're in a flight mode. They're ready to run. And so if you're having trouble keeping the horse's attention, that also is usually a sign of some type of stress. Now, we don't want to get to all of those farther along signs, but if you're working with someone that maybe is less familiar with horses, you want to make them aware of those things as well.
Absolutely. And since most barns probably have a mixture of different types of horses, do the body language signals vary between breeds, ages, or individual personalities? And if that's the case, how can barn managers and their staff adapt to this?
I think a lot of this can kind of apply across the board to different breeds. Different ages of horses may have slightly different like tolerances for new things or attention spans even for what you're doing, but a lot of the same things still apply. I do think where some individual personalities come into play is if, again, a horse has some type of learned behavior that they use as a coping mechanism in a situation. So, again, if you have a horse that has a painful limb, one of their legs really hurts, and they have learned that they can kick out and make a person stop trying to pick up their leg, they might choose that over some of the other stress or fear type responses because they've learned that that's effective. And so you do need your managers to adapt to each specific horse in that sense, as it's important to note what behaviors out of the list I gave your specific horse does display, because there's a chance that they're not displaying all of them. Like we also talked about punishing some of the predictive signs. If your horse has been punished for pawing, maybe that's not one they're going to do, but this horse over here is in a frustration type state and that one's going to paw. And so there is some individual difference, but a lot of the very, fundamental anxiety and stress behaviors that we talked about, the ear rotation, the restlessness, maybe some like increased head movements, the punch eating, most of those I found are pretty universal across horses. We're not here today to talk about, donkeys and other equids, but there are some differences with those. And so I don't want to get into that just because we don't have time. But for horses, I think these are pretty good, kind of across the board.
And this is going to be my last question for you today because we're already reaching the end of our time somehow. And that is, how do horses communicate with each other? And what can we learn by observing their herd interactions?
Oh, this is such a good question. And I grew up working with horses in a barn environment. And when I came to Penn, I had the experience here of working with a herd of semi-feral ponies that was managed here. And so they were living much more, quote unquote, natural life where there were stallions and mares and foals all in the same paddock together, living as a herd. And there's a lot of ways that they communicate with each other normally, especially in large groups. But a lot of the signs are very subtle, just, a head movement here, a leg movement here, a flick of their ears, and they obviously understand each other much better than we understand them. I think One of the things I learned most in that herd environment was that a lot of horse disputes are solved mainly by distance from each other. And so if one horse is trying to get to a food item, or they're trying to move in a certain way and another horse is in the way, there might be a little bit of a skirmish, but if they have enough room to move away from each other, they will, and usually things settle down. And so a lot of problems in like a stable environment might come from horses being in a more confined space, either with us or with other horses, where they are communicating pretty clearly that they need to be away or they need more space, but there's nowhere to go. And sometimes that's why we get into trouble. And so let's see how they communicate with each other. There's, like I said, a lot of just body language. There are some vocalizations, you know, whinnies, neighs, snorts, squeals. They're even their hoof sounds, and in a group, whether they're standing, running, stomping, those can communicate things to the other members of their herd or their little group. Some, you know, chemical cues, different smells that are happening. I mean, you've definitely seen horses kind of when they greet each other nose to nose and kind of breathe into each other's nostrils. That's one of the things that they do. Tactile communication, you know, touching each other in different ways. We also have probably a lot of us seen horses kind of grooming each other. That's a very, you know, bond building activity. They're scratching each other and helping each other out when there's flies and all of that. And so there's a lot of ways that we communicate with each other, and you can learn a ton by just standing and watching horses move around each other, how they interact. What is more natural for them between horses, and then you can kind of take that back in the way that you interact with them and have a little bit better understanding of what their different body language signs mean. And so I can't say enough how much watching that herd with all of the different family bands and the stallions and the mares and the foals, how much that taught me about horse behavior and how they communicate.
Yeah, I think that's such a great explanation. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.